We're here.
I wish I could give this feeling. I wish I could give this feeling.
What up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Corner Podcast. This week's episode of the Corner is brought to you by Casper Mattresses. Casper is an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the cost. You know, me and Andreas are always covering events, we're always writing articles, but when we do have time to sleep, we lay our head down on a nice, pillowy, soft, premium mattress from Casper Mattresses. Casper is revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and going straight to you. No showrooms, no middleman. Everyone's seen those creepy guys trying to follow you around the department store. None of that anymore. You get your hands on a nice premium mattress by going straight to Casper Mattresses.
Yeah, man. I mean, I got to get my rest. So Casper Mattresses is the goods. I'm telling you right now. So listen, you can get $50 off of any mattress purchase by visiting Casper.com/the corner and entering the promo code the corner. That's one word, the corner. That's Casper.com/the corner, promo code THECORNER. Terms and conditions apply.
What up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Corner Podcast. Back again. Today's show feels packed. And we're 4 weeks away from the next wrestling pay-per-view, which feels weird because last week we're having them every 2 weeks. So we kind of get to breathe, and the WWE gets to breathe, and Vince McMahon gets to swim through money like he's Scrooge McDuck. But we'll talk about that here in a second as well. You know, I'm Kel Dansby here with old man Andreas Hale in the building. Yo, I saw your pictures from the red carpet last week. Those grays, you're just looking real distinguished right now. You got a whole new look.
You know, the grays have arrived, and I can't get rid of them. So,
it is what it is. And you're covering K-pop now. Am I right? Is that like your new?
Oh my God, yo! Damn, I almost forgot about all this. Look, so I covered the Billboard Awards last week for the Griot for NBC, and I wasn't looking forward to it because I hate red carpets, and it's just something that I've never really enjoyed. But this was interesting. The red carpet was terrible. Like, when I say it was bad, like, on our side of the carpet, where, like, the Griot, Baller Status, it was, like, a few other publications, none of the talent went to the other side. Like, the dopest talent we got was, like, Bad Baby, that young chick with the attitude.
Is it Baby or Bobby?
Bobby, Baby? I don't know.
We got to get this right. You know, we're journalists now.
Yeah, but, you know... The carpet was just terrible. The biggest act that we did get on our side that I didn't really get a chance to talk to was BTS. Now, let me start with this. I had no idea who BTS was. Not a clue. And I was like, man, maybe I'm just really old. But then I found out, like, kids in my family, like my niece and nephew, they didn't know who BTS was. Like, this K-pop group, apparently America's, like, the last to be aware of who BTS was. And apparently, like, the biggest thing in the freaking world. They're huge. So they showed up. There were girls crying. Like, I pull up. Let me backtrack. I pull up to the red carpet, go get my credential, and there's, like, a mob of people right before the MGM Arena, that strip between the self-parking garage and the entrance to the arena was nothing but people. And I was like, man, this is kind of crazy. It's only, like, noon. Why are there so many people here? So I'm, like, I'm looking, and I'm like, yo, they're all BTS fans. All of them. They're just outside with signs and chanting. And I'm like, wow, this is crazy. They must be a big deal. Man, when I tell you that I ain't never seen no shit like this, like, yeah, being inside.
Are they like NSYNC status? Like Backstreet Boys?
They're bigger than NSYNC. I'll go out there. I'll go on a limb and say that right now. They're in terms of the world, they're bigger than NSYNC. I mean, this is like New Kids on the Block media. This is like, I've never seen no shit like this.
Your random noise tweet was dope. Like, the random tweet, you didn't tag them at all.
Yo, listen, and that's why I'm saying this. So they're big. Like, NSYNC was big, but they were like really big in the States. They did well overseas as well. But we're the last to be aware of who BTS is. Their video that they just put out, Fake Love, did like 48 million views in 24 hours.
Oh, that's incredible.
So if anybody watched the Billboard Awards, I don't know why you would. Billboard Awards are pretty boring. There's nothing really there to really entertain you. I was really there for the Janet Jackson medley. Like, I wanted to see her perform. She's 50-something years old. I wanted to see Janet. I actually ran into her kind of on the carpet and got bogarted by security, but that's another story. But, yeah, so it's like, so the awards, people that watched the awards heard, like, people screaming for BTS. But the thing that you didn't see was during each commercial break, they started chanting. And I've been to a lot of fights and I've been to a lot of events. I've never heard no shit this loud every commercial break. And it, like, the decibels were unbelievable. And I posted a couple of tweets that that people might have seen. Yo, I've never had tweets get 58,000 retweets in 30 minutes. Yo, these kids are huge. Like, I still can't check my mentions. If you've mentioned me on Twitter in the last couple of days, I can't check my mentions because they have flooded my mentions. It's ridiculous. I don't know what's going on. And I mean, it's just like a hybrid of like New Kids on the Block, NSYNC with a little bit of hip hop, a lot of dancing. But dog, they're huge.
Yo, wow. That's so crazy. Cause I saw it and I was like, what is this? That's how I know I'm getting old, when I have no clue who they are. But 48 million in 24 hours for a video views? Crazy. I gotta ask my daughter. I'm gonna call her after this podcast and be like, do you know who BTS is? And she's going to be like, Dad, of course. And then just let it in. Like, that's going to be my, yo, you're an old man moment. When my teenage daughter just looks at me like, you don't know who BTS is? Like, God.
I went down the rabbit hole, and like, we can move on after this. I went down the rabbit hole. Like, I went home and you know, my wife was like, what the fuck is BTS? Like, she's like, why are these, like, what are we missing here? My nephew's like, I don't know what BTS is. And he's 12. And my niece, she's 8. And they were like, But so I was like, let me find out. So I went down the rabbit hole and started watching their videos. Like, I get it. Like, I'm watching them. I get it. I really don't understand how they're a boy band. They're like a boy militia. There's 7 of them. Boy bands shouldn't be able to have, like, basketball teams. Like, they have a basketball team and 2 men coming off the bench. But I get it. Like, I see what people like about them. It's like this Asian K-pop group. The music isn't bad. It feels like they use some old school 90s R&B in some of their songs, and then they have like the more pop stuff. I get it. I get why they're big. I mean, you know, New Edition is always going to be the shit for me, and the Jacksons, obviously, but these kids are worldwide.
Yeah, that makes you think. Like, imagine if the Jacksons came out when we had Twitter and social media. Or a New Edition and all that. Like, these kids now, the advantage they have is that you can shrink the world. And it's like in the palm of your hand. Like you said, New Kids on the Block was huge. Imagine that shit on social media.
New Kids on the Block. I remember my friend's sister, like, she had, like, Jordan all over her wall. And I was like, man, get this shit off the wall. Like, I'm a kid and I'm like, yo, where's New Edition? She's like, New Kids on the Block. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, my fiance said her first concert ever was New Kids on the Block.
Yeah, Hanging Tough, like, those were jams for people. I wasn't particularly fond of any of that shit, but it is what it is.
All right, we're going to start the show off talking about Pusha T's new album. The other thing you're doing right now, musically, is, you know, sitting down, listening to Pusha T's album. They sent out a joint where you can listen to it a little early. It comes out tomorrow. If you guys are listening to this on Friday, it's already out. So go and check it out. I've been listening to old school clips and Pusha T and everything, Re-Up Gang, for the past couple days, just because I've always been a huge Clips fan. I prefer Clips over Pusha T solo, but that's just me. So I was trying to get in the mood for the album. When you showed up and I heard what you were listening to, that does not sound like the Pusha T I am familiar with.
Oh, okay. So apparently last night, you know, they had the listening party and it was like universally acclaimed. Like, this is amazing. This is hard. And I usually don't go into albums with preconceived notions because it's just dangerous to do so, because then your expectations are never going to be, you're never going to reach those expectations. However, the first track, banger. Get it. Second track, banger. Get it. Third track sounds like the second track. Fourth track sounds like the third track. It starts to all sound the same. And this has always been my issue with Pusha. Like, I like Pusha T. Like, but I like Pusha T in pockets. I can only take Pusha T because after a while, it's the same thing. And it's like his last couple albums. I mean, they're great, but I'm not going to say they don't have replay value because there's still a lot of songs I listen to from Pusha, especially from the Clip stuff. But this particular project is a very one-note project. It's very like the same thing. Like there's some monotony there at a certain point. He's dope. Don't get me wrong. Pusha is dope. But I'm not hearing this instant classic. I'm not hearing this. This is amazing. And then even the production, as much as like Kanye's like, I've been digging through samples for years. Well, yeah, he kind of looped a couple of old school samples and he put some drums on it and he distorted some bass lines. And then you have the album. It's not like phenomenal production. And I don't know what other people are hearing. I think it's good production, but I don't hear what everybody else is hearing.
Well, I guess like simple Kanye might be better Kanye to some people. Like that's what people want, right? Just old school samples. Don't do too much to it. Don't like go weird it out like he did on some albums. Like they don't want that shit. They want old school Kanye, simple production, you know, loop the hook. Let's get it going.
But see, like there was a difference. Like College Dropout Kanye, Late Registration Kanye, which moved away from the old school samples. But the sped up samples of the early College Dropout Kanye, they were a little bit more creative in how they were handled. This, on the other hand, what it is like a bass line, a drum, and then it stops everything and then gives you a loop of some old school singer, right? It's not really, it's very choppy. The production is choppy. And it's like, you'll have to listen to it to understand what I'm saying. It's like, there's a beat, there's some rhymes, and then he throws in a sample. And then it's just, the sample kind of like lives on its own. It may have like a drum track behind it or whatever, but it's not that fucking creative to me. It's not like old Kanye. It's not like what RZA was doing. And I'm not saying that everybody should be doing that, but this is Kanye we're talking about here. This is somebody that y'all call a genius. And in the first half of his career, he was phenomenal. But he's so out of touch, dog. And I'm not talking about as an individual. I'm just saying his music, what he thinks is perfection. And let's not even talk about the album cover, because that's some old bullshit right there.
Yo, you just put that in the group chat. And I didn't know that was Whitney's bathroom. Like, okay.
Yeah, like,
but I mean, I guess it, you know, it's cocaine, it's the coke flow, it's Pusha T, so I get it.
It wasn't Pusha's idea. Like, Pusha did an interview with Angie Martinez, and he was like, well, it wasn't my idea. Kanye bought that image for $85,000 for it to be Pusha's album cover. It's kind of lazy to me to just take Whitney's bathroom, you know, around the time when she died, and use that as an album cover for an album called Daytona. It's like, are we celebrating the fact that Pusha's a dope, was a dope dealer, and Whitney died of a dope? Like, so let me go out and drop an album and have a picture of Kanye's mom on the operating table. You get what I'm saying? Like, it's kind of...
It's in poor taste. Yeah,
it's really in poor taste to do that. And people are like, yo, that's dope. That's not dope. That's not dope, because the Houston estate should be pissed right now, because they've lost Whitney and their daughter from this shit. Like, that shit ain't cool, man. Like, it's insensitive, but that's who Kanye is. It's insensitive. But enough about Kanye. The Pusha album is good. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to listen to it a few more times. I've only gotten through a few listens. It's good. But there's some monotony there, man. And y'all, if y'all call it classic and y'all like the same shit, all
right,
that's cool.
Just but seven tracks, right?
Yeah, it's short as fuck.
That's an EP, by the way.
It's not an album. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I'm figuring Kanye's album will probably be the same way.
Hopefully he gave Nas a little bit more.
Hopefully this thing even exists. I'm not entirely sure it exists.
That would be five albums in, what, 5 weeks for a good mute? Like, so it pushes this week, then Kanye solo, then Nas, then Push and, or no, then Kanye and Cudi.
Which I'm really not looking forward to, but anyway.
And the last one, I forgot who had the last one.
Was it Tiana?
I think it was Tiana album.
And by the way, guys, Tiana Taylor and Azalea Banks are the same comic book character in different universes. I'm just saying.
I think Azalea Banks is a whack job, so she is the Bizarro World version.
But the thing about Azalea is she's extraordinarily talented. Like, as a singer and a rapper, like, if you go back to 212, that was a dope-ass song. Like, she could sing and she could rap. She's just a nutcase.
Yeah. Keep her out of bodegas, like, and shit, and off of rants.
She's nuts. But, like, her and Tiana, like, when I look at them as people, like, they're both talented. Like, Tiana's really talented, too. But they're, like, you know, like Jean Grey and Dark Phoenix. They're, like, they're the same comic book character in two different universes. Anyway.
All right, so that's the Kanye effect on music that's going on right now. The other thing we want to talk about before we kind of steer it into combat sports is the NFL came down with a ruling about players taking a knee. Any players on the field will have to stand for the national anthem and for the flag. If they do not want to do so, they can stay in the locker room. No penalty, no nothing until after the anthem is done. The owners made this ruling without consulting players. They damn near didn't consult some of the owners, what it seems like. But this is what Goodell came up with. Is this a compromise? Is this enough to end the discussion?
No, this is bullshit is what it is. Because what is this about? Like, I think the NFL and Trump...
It's hiding a problem. It's putting a Band-Aid over a problem.
Well, more importantly, it's not even acknowledging the reason why the protest started. Like, it's not about your fucking flag. It's not about your fucking anthem. If you put half as much energy into acknowledging what Colin Kaepernick and then Eric Reid and then Michael Bennett and then all these players were kneeling for, maybe you can help get to the root of the problem and figure this shit out. Because we just saw what happened to Sterling Brown, which happened back in January. The Milwaukee Bucks rookie.
Yeah.
These players aren't kneeling to disrespect your fucking flag. They're upset about what's happening in the community and what's happening to us on a daily basis. Like, yo, I just watched Set It Off for the first time in years. And Set It Off, if people remember, there was a very important scene where Jada Pinkett's character's brother gets shot down by police for having a champagne bottle in his jacket and being at the wrong place at the wrong time. That was 1996. It is 2018, and we're still seeing the same shit. And that's why these players are kneeling. To tell them to stay in the locker room ignores the protest and why it existed in the first place. It's not about your fucking flag, people. It's not about your goddamn anthem. But you're trying to make a point, and then Trump went out and said, well, basically, that's not even good enough. You acquiesce to the bully, and the bully says it's not good enough. They shouldn't even be in the country. Dog, are you missing the point? You're missing the point. So this is dumb. This is some bullshit. If the players... I mean, look, man, teachers have protested for less, and they make a lot less money than athletes. If these players said, you know what, I'm going to stay in the locker room for this whole fucking game, and a bunch of them did it at the game, didn't even announce it, just did it. And all those people that pay for tickets, they want refunds because there's nobody on the fucking field except for like 12 white boys. 12 white boys and like a coon.
And that's not even like Chris Long. Like Chris Long's in the locker room chilling.
Right. Right, it's like, well, five boys, and there's like,
shout out to Chris Long, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But now it's like we need to make sure that our voices are felt. And I hope there's some athletes that are willing. It's not really a risk. It's not like you're broke. You know what I'm saying?
It's
like
one game check. It ain't gonna kill you.
Yeah, like okay, fine me. But we're not playing. How about that? And let's see how they respond, because fans are going to be pissed off. People who subscribe to DirecTV's Sunday Ticket are going to be pissed off because there's no fucking game. But let's play this shit for real, because this is a joke.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with that. To me, one, it's about the protest, right? It's about the meaning behind it. I hope players now, if you go out to the field, you don't have to take a knee, but raise your fist in the air. Do something. What if players turn their back to the flag?
Yeah, they're fine with the final.
That's not in the rules. That's not against the rules, right? It's only if your knee touches the ground. So, you can do other stuff during the anthem. You want to put, you know, we'll stand in the same line as everyone else, but our backs are going to be turned. Now what?
Just on the field. That's what I would do.
Now it would be a national story, too, right? Now you're going to ban that, too. That's going to be... So, it's something that's going to be ongoing, constant, because you can't stop it. You can't get ahead of it. You never get ahead of the protest. You can always do something more. So this is stupid. This is just, you know, trying to peg the hole. And my boy, Nick Wright, who is super cool, he's on Fox, if you guys watch him or whatever, we talk all the time, and I know where he stood politically and on stances of, you know, race and racial inequality and all this stuff. And this is for years. When I was in Kansas City, he gave me my first job at the radio station. And that was always, you know, our thing. Like, he looked at me, it was like, oh, young black dude, you're talented, cool. Like, he always gave people who were talented, minorities, he's just, man, my boy Carrington, he's a young black dude, into hip-hop, all this stuff in Kansas City, just a ton of us. We can owe what we've done thanks to Nick Wright, and he's like 2 years older than me. So he's been putting, like, people our age on forever, and he said on Fox Sports, one of the best things I've heard about this whole flag debate, he was like, you know what? You know, think what you want about the flag. He's like, ask yourself an honest question. If anyone wants to answer to this, they can sit down and ask themselves an honest question. If Kaepernick went out to the field and took a knee during the national anthem in front of the flag, and when was asked about it, said, I hate how our soldiers are treated after they fight and give their lives for us overseas, come back and have no health care, no jobs waiting on them. They don't have, you know, adequate services after that. Their money gets cut. If he says, I'm kneeling for all of these men who fight for our country every day, would you still feel the same way? And it was a resounding no. And he was like, if he said all of that, you guys would champion Colin Kaepernick. And he would still be disrespecting the flag and the anthem. Because he would still be kneeling. But no one would feel bad about it. So when you look in the mirror, ask yourself, do you feel bad about him disrespecting a flag and taking a knee? Or do you feel bad about why he's disrespecting the flag and taking the knee? Is it because he said that it's for racial inequality? It's for police brutality. It's for minorities. Because if it was for you and your soldiers or your family members, you would be clapping. And that's the truest shit I've heard.
Man, props to Nick Wright, because that is a spot-on assessment, man. And that's what's frightening about this country. This country don't really, again, it's a country that we have the same issues, and you guys, you know, just find other ways to get around them and not even acknowledge that they exist. Yeah. And here we are, you know, more school shootings. More
every
black...
week, yo. Every week there's a school shooting.
But we won't acknowledge the problem. Yo, the motherfucker, look, excuse my language. But the motherfucker said doors are the problem. There's too many entrances. Doors?
Doors.
We're blaming exits and entrances on why a kid was able to come into a school, I believe he had a shotgun and a handgun, and was able to mow down children. A kid. How about, like I said this before, it's like, how about we start blaming parents who aren't locking up their guns appropriately, because kids shouldn't be able to get their hands on these guns. Somebody's got to be held accountable, because obviously, you know, you look at the kid and you're like, all right, well, the kid, he's messed up. And they, for some reason, they're always taken in with not a bump or a bruise on their body. But meanwhile, black folks who didn't do shit but park in a handicapped space get tased. Anyway, point is that people got to be held accountable for this shit. But we keep ignoring the problem. I'm not saying take away the guns, but gun control is an issue in this country. And if you want to keep not acknowledging it, you don't want to keep not acknowledging racial inequality, racism, police brutality are not issues, and you want to blame some knees and a fucking flag, so we got a lot of problems, man. We got to figure this shit out.
Yeah, and then the NFL just sweeping them under the rug or hiding them does nothing. They're just trying to put everything back in the locker room, trying to put it away in the closet. You know, out of sight, out of mind. So this shit's not going away at all, and I can't wait to see what comes of it. Because you know what? Kaepernick hasn't been in the league, 2 years now? He'll probably never play in the league again. His impact is bigger than anything he could have ever done on the field. And he'll be talked about for decades. So, shout out to him. This brings us to our next point. We're rolling this over. I love that all of our talk kind of today is in the realm of combat sports, but a little bit different and brings in that social aspect. Next is Platinum Mike Perry, Florida's own. So Mike Perry did some type of web family tree and found out he is 2% black. He then tells Tyron Woodley, who's been on the show, who is a very woke professional athlete, that he's 2% black and wants to say nigger. Tyron Woodley says, all right, you get a pass. Mike Perry then tweets this today. Everyone lose their damn mind. He says, no, I'm 2% black, and Tyron has given me a pass. We good money. I can't even believe. Like, this just shows a lack of common sense. And this is from a guy who gets punched in the head, so I'm not sure what I was expecting, necessarily. Like, his job is to actively lose brain cells. But I'm not sure how you could be this dumb and think you're in this bubble. Or is it just part of the stick? Is this making him money?
I mean, this isn't the first time he's done something like this. Mike Perry's this is just a really fascinating thing to me. If you have to trace your lineage that far back to figure out whether you have a drop of black blood in you, you probably shouldn't say the word nigga. Probably not the best thing to do.
It's not that fun. Like, I mean, the shit could be funny at times, but it's not that fun. Like, I go without saying it if I had to.
Well, yeah, like me personally, I made a conscious decision several years ago to stop saying it as much. I was like, I used to say it often. But then one day I was just like, well, this is, why am I saying this all the time? Because I'm tired of like giving people a pass. Now, I don't give anybody a pass, but I'm tired of like by me saying it in somebody else's presence, they feel like they can say it to me. Never has happened to me before because it'd be a fight. But the point is that it's just unnecessary. Now, it's unnecessary, like the little white girl who jumped on stage with Kendrick, and Kendrick was like, whoa, whoa, chill, when she tried to drop nigga when she was rapping the verse of Mad City. She didn't understand what she was doing wrong. And people were like, why can't she do that? Look, white folks, black kids like us for years have been listening to hip-hop, and we found a way to not say curse words when we rap songs.
Uh-huh.
You should be able to find a way to not say the word nigga. Not that hard. It's really not your word to use. Like, we can't have shit. It's like, so Platinum Mike Perry, a guy who is white and says he's 2% black.
2%.
Really wanted to say the word nigga. Why?
And by no means am I calling him a racist, though.
No.
I don't think he's necessarily racist. I just think he's dumb.
Right. And that's the thing. We're a very hypersensitive society. We think everybody says the N-word is racist. They're not all racist. Like, Everything is not racist. They're not done with malicious intent. They're done with ignorance.
Yes.
Perry is ignorant as fuck. Yeah. Why do you feel like you needed to say that word? That's my concern. When you like, what gave you the urge to say, man, I need to say nigga today? Yeah. Why?
Like, I can't go without it. Like, this is the perfect word for this sentence.
Right. And Tyron Woodley, who some people know, I've spoken to in the past and been friendly with him occasionally, but I'm calling him out. Why would you give this man a pass? Like, I get what you, at that moment in your head, you were like, well, if you got a drop of black blood, you're a black person. That's like the common thing here. But when somebody has to do this much searching to find out if they have any black blood in them, because the reality is that most people have black blood because the first body's found in Africa, blah, blah, blah. So, but the reality is, you giving him a pass, you need to revoke that pass because you need to ask him, why do you feel like you needed to say that word? Because personally, in the conversations that I've had with Tyron Woodley off the record, me and him have never used those words with each other. So why is this dude using it with you? And it's cool.
My biggest thing about giving a pass, right? Like, listen, someone wants to give somebody a pass. I grew up in New York. Everyone knows this. I have family members and friends who are strictly Spanish, from Dominican, from Puerto Rico, from whatever. And they say, I'm not walking around just knocking people out, right? It is what it is. So some people get a pass. The problem with giving people a pass is you may find that okay. They are comfortable around you saying that. They slip up and say it in front of the wrong person. They get knocked out, and now it's your fault. Like, you just can't be given passes because then they just have the license to ill. So, like, this little girl on Kendrick's stage, maybe that shit's okay with her and her high school friends. But she gets on stage and she's like, oops, I do something wrong? Yeah, dumbass. Like, there's also time and place. Like, I can't go around making, you know, overly outlandish, you know, sexual jokes, you know, before I you know, end up in a scandal. Like Morgan Freeman and shit. Like, you just can't do it. Like, it's a time and place. But I got some friends. I have, you know, friends who are women or, like, my fiancé or whatever the case may be, where I can make overly stupid jokes that's probably not appropriate everywhere. I can't say that shit on Twitter. My job will probably fire me. But, it, you know, it is what it is. We understand that not everything in life is PG. Sometimes there's our jokes. One of my grandfather's funniest jokes ever. That shit's not socially appropriate. That shit's hilarious. But I just can't write that on Twitter. Like, people have lost common sense in the search to fit in. I don't know how they've gotten these two things crossed.
I don't know. Like, furthermore, sorry to interrupt you.
No, but go ahead.
The fact that, you know, if Tyron Woodley is not the spokesperson for Black America, and it's kind of the point that you just made. So if Tyron Woodley gave you a pass and you end up in L.A. and you're walking the streets of L.A. and you're like, what up, my nigga? And you get fucked up, that's on you.
Yep.
Because Tyron Woodley is not, like, it's not even Barack Obama. If Barack Obama said it was cool, it's like, yo, that's one man. You could say it, maybe you could say it to Barack Obama, but you can't say it to Michelle. Michelle will fuck you up. So it's like, that's how these things got to be looked at. Like, yo, it's not the pass for you to say it. It's not the right place. And Perry, Colby Covington, like, this whole everybody's trying to be like Conor thing is it really getting out of hand.
But they're taking like levels up with it. They're trying to outdo Conor.
Yeah, like the ignorance level. And then the fact that, and your man Kobe Covington is getting a title shot for beating Damian Maya. And now he's fighting Dos Anjos for an interim title. Is it like it's indicative of the whole thing. When your black champion is sitting on top, there is no need. He had an injury, but there's no need for an interim title. But you're doing this anyway to satiate Colby Covington. Mm. Not even Rafael Dos Anjos. Colby Covington.
There's no way they want Dos Anjos to win this fight.
Oh, hell no.
Like, this is made for Colby Covington to win.
Like, what? What the fuck? Colby Covington? Who was Colby Covington last year? Anybody?
Listen, people can... I could walk in the UFC offices tomorrow and walk right by his ass. Unless he was saying some dumb shit. Like, no, he's not that important.
This is where we're at. This is where we're at. And the UFC, which is, I've always said, it's like the land of, like, Confederate flags and shit. Like, there's, like, hidden races. There's xenophobia all through the UFC. The fact that we still chant USA at fights where there's a brown person in the octagon is problematic. Like, why are you chanting USA? Aren't both these fucking guys from you? Like, I guarantee you, Kamaru Usman, if he fought Colby Covington, they chant USA. Like, Kamaru's from Nigeria and shit, even though he lives in the States. But it's a crazy place that we're in right now, and I'm not even going to blame it all on Trump. I look at the alt-right. I look at fucking Tea Party and everything that builds up to this point. And, yo, guys, listen, if you listen to this podcast, you're like, Andreas talks about race too much. Sorry, this is who the fuck I've always been. But we're in a tough place right now where this is just happening way too much. And if you have Netflix, do yourself a favor and watch Dear White People. It handles this topic very well this season.
Oh, I haven't even watched it yet.
It's very good.
I have to catch that. Well, yeah, that's Mike Perry getting the 2% pass right now. UFC, on the other hand, we touched on it. They're dying for, you know, new stars, Colby Covington, anyone who's controversial. And now we know why. The UFC inked a deal with ESPN, 5-year deal, a little lower than they thought they'd get, but it's over $1 billion for 5 years. Everything next January is moving from Fox to ESPN. No word on The Ultimate Fighter yet. Or their UFC on Fox show, like with the panelists and Karen Bryant. But pretty much everything else will be on ESPN or ESPN Plus. And we said that WME bought a lemon. You specifically said they bought a lemon and never let them live it down. Did ESPN just buy a lemon?
Absolutely. Like, there's a couple ways to look at this. They spent a lot of money for this product, but this is also ESPN, and they can turn this lemonade around, this lemon to lemonade. And there's a way that they can do it, but it's very challenging. And I think part of the problem is that, you know, the UFC still has production rights over their live shows, which is kind of like ESPN's got to take control of this shit. The thing is that in order for this to work, the UFC cannot be a different conversation on First Take. Like that conversation that feels really awkward. Like, whenever there's a UFC conversation on ESPN First Take, it doesn't fit, because you can tell that Stephen A. Smith doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. Max Kellerman barely knows what he's talking about when it comes to MMA. He knows boxing, doesn't really know MMA. You have to integrate UFC into the culture of ESPN, and it has to be regular. Like, it can't be forced. Like, you can't give it its own show, because in boxing, you have a few fights a year. Like, Top Rank, we got the Crawford Horn fight coming up, and there's Vasyl Lomachenko. There's not a ton of fights. They just bought 42 fucking fights for ESPN and ESPN pay. Well, I guess this will be ESPN pay per view moving forward. They just bought all these fights, which means every weekend, except for 10 out of the calendar year, is going to be UFC. Which means you have to promote this sport every week. But if you make it into something that exists outside of your daily debate shows, from Around the Horn to First Take to Part of the Interruption, like, it has to be part of that conversation. And it can't be just Ariel. It can't be just Brett Okamoto showing up. You have to educate your talking heads about MMA.
You're not going to teach those old dogs a new trick.
Exactly. So you're going to have to hire some new people. You're going to have to find some new people, because these conversations about mixed martial arts, like, shit, hire us. Fuck it.
I was about to say, what's your availability? Right. I'll be on ESPN Plus quick, fast.
So it's like you have to integrate it because it's still an outlier in the culture. It's still very niche. But ESPN purchases it could turn this thing around. I'm not sure I'm seeing that, though, because it's still this weird thing where they try to make this like a year-round sport, but not everybody's buying into it. And there's still too many events, and there's still too many injuries. There's no real stars outside of Conor McGregor. The ESPN Fame 100 came out earlier this week. There's seven boxers, I believe, on the list. Floyd Mayweather is still ahead of Conor McGregor on the Fame 100, which takes into account sponsorships, search optimization, like how many people search for your name, and there's something else, and I can't remember what it is.
I mean, that's fair. It's Floyd Mayweather, though. He'll be up there for a while.
Well, yeah, Floyd is like 14, Conor was like 17. And then there's like Anthony Joshua, Gennady Golovkin, Canelo Alvarez, Manny Pacquiao's on the list. There are no other mixed martial artists. That tells you a lot about the product that they're putting out.
Damn. They have Ronda Rousey doesn't count anymore, right?
Right. No. They have one man on this list who hasn't fought since 2016. That's I mean, it speaks for itself. You're not doing a good job promoting your fights or your fighters. Not one person cracked that list. There's a motherfucker who plays cricket on the list.
Yo, that kid is world renowned, though. I read that article the other day. Like, that shit was fire. It made me want to check him out.
But it's like, there's a dude that plays cricket on the list. There's tennis players. There's golfers. There's track. There's everything on there. There's one mixed martial artist who hasn't fought in an octagon since 2016. You're not doing your job. You're not.
But yeah, they have to use the other powers of the platform to promote people, right? We have to get, you know, SportsCenter specials.
Yeah, absolutely.
On, you know, the stories in MMA are incredible. They're not for lack of stories. So you just don't know
how to tell them.
Yeah, you can go with Tyron Woodley and go back and do like a Ferguson story. Or what's his face? Isn't he from Flint, Michigan? Kevin Lee? He's not from Detroit, is he?
Yeah, he's from Detroit. Oh. He lives out here in Vegas now, but yeah.
I thought someone was like specifically from Flint, Michigan. Nonetheless, I have to look it up. But there's like stories that are still very, you know, very integrated. You have the whole immigration issue. You have fighters from Mexico. You have all of these different stories. You have someone who's, you know, hyper religious. If you want to make you know, the next Tim Tebow. And you out of Sage Northcutt, you have all of these things that you can do. It just takes time, it takes planning, it takes resources, and we'll see. I mean, partner interruptions have guests all the time. I understand you're like, well, it just can't be Ariel, but it can surely be DC.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it just has to start feeling natural because it's part of your natural programming now. Like, you're showing this more than like a lot of other sports. This is probably now because, I mean, you show baseball, basketball, and you have Sunday. Like, this is more frequent than the NFL.
Yeah.
They deal with the UFC. So if they could talk about the NFL every week, they need to talk about the UFC every week. It's going to be hard, but this is what you got to do. You have to make people care about this sport. We care about it. I just like seeing people fight, right? That's just always been my thing since I was a kid. Pro wrestling was my gateway drug into mixed martial arts and boxing. I like watching people get beat the fuck up. Something might be wrong with me. That's who I am. But the rest of the world needs to learn how to care about these fighters.
But that's the difference. Like, ESPN doesn't have the people to really put the promotion of the sports on its shoulders. Like, boxing, Kellerman's a huge voice in boxing. They have boxing analysts, you know, people who are personalities, not just former fighters. Like, it's cool to have the former NFL guys, but you also have to have some people who are just personalities that know a shitload about the NFL. You have to have these type of things. They don't have the personalities. Ariel is one hell of a journalist.
Absolutely.
He's not a personality.
No.
Like, you're not to get him to be Stephen A. Smith for this sport.
You're right. Right, right. He doesn't fit the culture of, like, the debate show.
No, he's not.
MMA outright. Yeah,
yeah, he's an insider. He's, you know, Adam Scheffner, which is cool. But he doesn't lead your NFL live TV show.
Yeah, he's your Adrian Wojnarowski. Like, yeah. he's that guy. Yeah.
Exactly. But, you know, he's not leading your shows every day. Like, they sign their insiders. Brett's a great insider. But you don't have personalities. And that network, Fox, it shows people are latching to personalities. That's why Jamel and you know and Michael Smith got the nod. And that's why his and hers took off and all this. People latch themselves to personalities. They didn't sign or they've yet to sign any MMA personalities. And that's not going to bode well for major television. Because you can Damn. Only put Ariel on so many shows. Like what? You need someone who has personality to go and carry it.
You made it. Like I'm thinking about it, you made a very good point. Like there are the Luke Thomases of the world. There are Chael Sonnens, of course. But there are very few personalities when it comes to discussing. Like Teddy Atlas is a personality. Though he's a trainer and he's got history in the sport.
But that shit's exciting. Him and Stephen A yelling at each other is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't. There is nobody like that in mixed martial arts that will passionately argue MMA.
No, because listen, I mean, Luke has a great show. I like Luke's show, and Luke can get up there with a panel of people and talk about it. I love, you know, personally, we're friends, but I don't care. I love what Big Mac does.
Yeah,
you know, Big Mac can get up there and he has the knowledge base and everything, but he puts a lot into it. He puts a lot of himself behind it. He has a huge personality that works for Sirius. That's an entertaining-ass show. And then you still have your little, you know, interviews or whatever. But you have to have that personality. Ariel has an interview show. Brett does, you know, great columns and features. But they're not personalities. Me, you, maybe some of the serious shows, Luke. No one else has a talk combat sports show. Everyone else is driven by the guests they can pull in.
Yeah,
no one goes week to week and just talks. Like pro wrestling, we have a ton of them in pro wrestling. You just sit up and chop it up. Some people rely on guests all the time. But some of the best shows, our favorite, are just people telling stories about the old days or chopping it up, just talking. That's not, it's non-existent in MMA at that level.
Very good point. Like their biggest personality, arguably, is Joe Rogan. He's on the payroll as a commentator, so you can't really give his opinion like he should.
And Chael.
Yeah, but Chael's, you know.
But Chael's, you know, he's an ex-fighter. He's still fighting. It's Chael's the whole all over the place. And which is cool. You know, everyone needs a, you know, a Chris Carter, a Randy Moss. A You Got Moss. Like, that shit's fun. Ex-players, ex-fighters, they add to it. But sometimes you need that journalist who's a personality. We just saw the Mauro documentary. Mauro's a personality. Like, that shit's attractive. That you can sell. They don't have that. And that's what'll keep him from being mainstream. You know, if Skip Bayless, look, Max Kellerman. Max Kellerman has a good personality. He can go on any show and talk boxing, and people will listen. If Skip Bayless cared about MMA, everyone else would care about MMA. I remember, it's crazy because the whole bro era and all that shit, and I hated this show, but it did so much for MMA and getting people into it. Jim Rome. Jim Rome actually talked about MMA. And wore this person, wore that person. Tito Ortiz, Chuck Liddell. That shit made a difference. He was a personality talking the sport. They don't got that. And if they fail, or if it doesn't reach the heights that they wanted to, it's because of that. They are a network, and sports in general has networks that are built off of personalities. And they do not have that guy yet.
Very true, man. Very true.
That's their deal, though. WWE signed a deal. Getting that paper. Dre ain't shit ever changing in WWE. Are you ready for this bucket? Vince McMahon right now is laughing at all of us. He's like, yeah, I did this shit with 4 years of Roman Reigns.
Oh, boy.
4 years of Roman Reigns got him $2 million. Yeah. Or, excuse me, $2 billion. That shit's crazy. Could you imagine if he had CM Punk still? He's going to parlay Ronda into the biggest contract of his life.
Well, the crazy thing about this is this is a SmackDown, though. Like, this, like, it's a great deal. Like, this is phenomenal. SmackDown's going to Fox on Friday nights. But there's no Roman Reigns. There's no Ronda Rousey.
Well, we got a year. The next shakeup has to put them over. Well, Somebody has to go over.
That's the thing, because Raw is still your flagship show. But this is the first time that SmackDown or any show on the WWE since Saturday night's the main event, back when you used to come on NBC when I was a kid, it's on network television. a channel that everybody.
All right, everybody. Before Fox. We continue to talk,
so
more combat
it's coming
sports,
on Friday night.
We got to give another thanks.
It's kind of touch and go with
Casper
Friday night because a lot of people don't watch television on Friday nights. But then again, you can't kind of lose this. I mean, you're not really eating up anybody that watches any television. There's no shows really on Friday night.
There's no competition and. That's loaded. To be honest, diehard wrestling fans don't have the most glamorous.
And this is how we get ours. So
like, it's not like they're out clubbing.
Casper mattresses are made in the
right.
USA.
So it's like, so I mean, this is a big deal. Yeah, but the question
the
is like, all right, well,
shout out to the Great North.
What about us?
You can buy your
and
Casper
I guess we don't matter. The fans who like really care about,
risk-free.
You know, how the
Listen,
sport is developed.
You spend like a third of your life
has developed over the years.
The importance of trying out a match before you commit. Look, so if you are satisfied with the Casper mattress, you got 100-day period. Yeah, that's right, 100 days. You know, like 100 days of sleeping. By about that time,
yeah.
I think I know about like
shut up.
So get a Casper mattress
so,
like, for $500 for
talking
twin
about
or $950
like
for a
like
king size.
Around.
And you can save an additional $50 towards
it's
the Casper mattress by going to Casper.com/the corner and entering the promo for the corner. That's Casper.com/the corner. Promo code the corner to save $50 towards the Casper purchase.
Whatever.
This is a plot. Look, again, man. I like
and
to sleep.
NXT
and these things are for
exactly
real.
Exactly the feel.
Make
want.
It happen.
Indies and bridges
now,
the gap.
It's time to get back to talking.
And he's like, shut up.
So stay with us.
And NXT is about to take over. Because this contract, the money guaranteed through here, and then, you know, still having pay-per-views on the network and people still buying the network. Network somewhere on like 2.4 million. I remember when they were talking about, my God, we need to get a million to break even. Now they're in 2.4 million territory. Like the network took off. And all that's going to do is allow them to pay people stupid amounts of contracts to be in NXT and to waste their time.
You know what? This is like the housing market. Anybody who's familiar with the housing market in the recession 10 years ago, like the shit built. The supply was there, and one day that bubble's going to burst. I don't know when that day is coming, but you can't keep hoarding talent the way that they're trying to do right now. It's going to eventually backfire. Because, yeah, like, you know, if the rumors are true and they signed Keith Lee and Walter and, you know, they're still going after talent and there's really nowhere to put them. And now you sign this huge deal. And it's basically what you're doing is you're trying to eliminate the competition. You're trying to take out the regions again.
Yeah.
But it's like Matt Rinaldi from MMA Fighting made a great point that ESPN should go after New Japan. Because create a competitor. And New Japan is a competitor. They have American wrestlers. But you got to do something because the
New Japan ROH something for ESPN Plus.
Yeah, but it's like the WWE is so big, and this Fox deal has just made it so much bigger. But they're not doing anything different. They're going to hoard talent. Some will break through the glass ceiling. By the way, CM Punk should call Vince and be like, "I need a check," because if it wasn't for the pipe bomb and the shit that I did, the indies would have never really mattered to you. But that in itself is a whole other conversation.
Hey, but CM Punk might be all in, so he might be getting a check. Depending on what happens with Mike the Truth. If the Truth knocks his ass out, then CM Punk will be in Chicago for all in.
But yeah, the point is that, you know, the bubble, like it's like the housing market where things are skyrocketing now. You have WWE stock is through the roof. They're just eating up talent to the point where it's like they just disappear. They're trying to suck the indies dry. But then eventually the guys like Neville, the guys like Austin Aries, there'll be more of them unhappy where they are, and they're gonna make a move. So it's great now. I'm interested to see how this lasts for over the next few years because there's still not enough room for all these guys.
Well, I think NXT goes to 2 hours. SmackDown will stay two. I it's hard to say. Which right now it sounds crazy, but I wouldn't put it past them. If they have so much talent coming through to add another weekly show.
Ugh.
Like a major net, like USA puts on a Wednesday night something or some shit like that.
Yeah.
Or NXT gets bought by, you know, USA. Or USA costs up the money for NXT. And only thing we get on the network is the UK tournament, 205 Live. Like, you know, a full UK show 1 hour a week, 205 Live 1 hour a week. And then you get NXT Wednesdays on USA, 2 hours, and you make that the legit third brand.
Yeah, that makes me sleepy. Just thinking about that makes me tired. Because, like,
but I mean, that's how you got to fit in all the talent, right? Like, well, takeovers will be regular things. It's crazy.
You would kind of, sort of, in some way, turn NXT into the failed ECW relaunch.
Yes, where you can move people back and forth. But at least NXT is kind of at least more stable. So maybe they can withstand that. ECW was on, you know, rocky knees, and it had this legacy that you couldn't build up to on major television, and it fell flat.
Yeah, I mean, it was co-opted. Like, when they brought ECW, when it was already a dead product, if you remember the first draft, they sent Kurt Angle to ECW. And it was like, they tried, but the shit never works when you send, like, if you send Roman Reigns to NXT, people see through that shit. They don't care. But ultimately, big great deals for the WWE and UFC. I'm interested in seeing what they do with it. I still maintain that the UFC is a lemon, but going to the ESPN could help it out. It's not guaranteed. No, we shall see.
5 years for all of these people. So in 5 years, we'll be right back here talking the same thing. Hopefully, we'll have a lot more money because they'll cut us the checks. Then we have Eddie Hearn trying to do the same thing in boxing. And he's offering crazy contracts. Broner turned down $6.2 million for 1 year's worth of contracts, three fights. Where the hell is he going to get the same amount of money?
Yo, listen, I'll put it like this. I'm not sure what his deal with Al Heyman is behind the scenes. It must be something there with that relationship. Well, my man, you're fighting once a year. And you're not good. So
not at all.
If Hearn is offering you three fights over the next 12 months, maybe 12 to 16 months, I can't remember the time, in the $2 million range because he's got the money to blow.
And two of them could be cans.
Yeah, two of them can be cans. Get you back in the win column.
Yeah, the money's guaranteed. Two of them could be cans.
The problem with PBC has always been that they stopped having their fighters fight. So if you're not busy, like you look at Sean Porter. Sean Porter fights like once a year. That's you can't do that. That's not fair. Like you're not getting paid. Two, you're not being seen. So if Hearns offer you the opportunity to be seen and get paid, why are you not taking it? So, but whatever's happening behind the scenes, my problem with Broner is why did you put that shit on Instagram? What was the point you were trying to make?
It didn't help him, but it surely helped her.
Yeah, because now everybody's like, yo, if Broner is getting an offer, like the Charlos are entertaining it right now, and There's a strong possibility, like WBC just announced today that the Sean Porter Danny Garcia fight is going to a purse bid because Haim is not their promoter. He manages them, but he's not either their promoter. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if Eddie Hearn bought the purse bid for Porter and Garcia and made that launch his streaming service.
Why not? It's a good investment. Why not?
If it's going to purse bid and Heyman's not going to put up the money, and you could probably outbid Heyman because Heyman used sponsors and advertising money, where Hearn's got his own fucking money, buy that fight. And then lure them too. It's like, hey, you see what I just did for you? Danny, Sean, Charlos. I already got Daniel Jacobs. I already got Anthony Joshua. Deontay Wilder, come on over. Come on over to Death Row. This is like the British version of Death Row. He can build shit the fuck out. Like, this could turn into PBC, but I don't think it will. I think Hearn could be onto something, especially with the worldwide appeal of boxing. PBC was very Americanized, very in the States. Hearn is worldwide, and he understands how big the European market is. Yo, he could be onto something here if he does it right.
Yeah, and there's no pay-per-view stars, so you're really just cutting off Showtime and HBO.
So it's ultimately a matter of, can you get the right fighters to get the right people to subscribe to your service and watch? Because you're gonna sink a lot of money into this before you see a profit. But if you get these guys now and you promise them, yo, you'll fight two to three times a year, and like you show them they
for
can
nice
go,
paychecks,
it's the perfect way because it gives us as boxing fans reasons to watch. Because now I ain't gotta wait a year. Like dog, who just fought? Who we just talked? Damn, they were just talking about him. Gary Russell Jr.
Yeah.
Gary Russell Jr., great talent, fights once a fucking year, so nobody knows who he is. Get that man three fights. Watch what happens. Mm-hmm. People will be a little bit more interested in seeing Gary Russell Jr. fight. You gotta move things a little bit faster. If that's what Hearn's doing, I'm here for it. But Broner, you are an idiot, but come on, dog.
No, you're right. All right, before we went through everything, like I said, it was side notes of kind of every business. But let's talk about the UFC Liverpool card real quick before we start wrapping up. We have Wonder Boy versus Darren Till headlining. And I think, you know, it's kind of going to fall flat because this is one of the cards that kind of just gets caught in the wash. So much UFC. And in 2 weeks, we get CM Punk. in Chicago, and that card, and that's going to start ramping up. So this is kind of just caught in no man's land. But still a couple good fights. We have Neil Magny on the card versus Craig White. I think that should be a win for Neil Magny because he's still a tough summer gun. Outside of that, Elias Theodoro on the UFC Fight Pass card versus Trevor Smith. Jason Knight's on this card. But it's really about the main event. Stephen Thompson versus Darren Till. Who do you have?
I got Wonderboy. This feels like Yair getting fed to Frankie Edgar. It feels that way. Because Till knocked out Cerrone, who was like a career lightweight who moved up to welterweight, right? And we all know Cerrone has those poop butt performances where he's on a roll and then he just gets beat the fuck up. And Darren Till took advantage of that. Darren Till hasn't beaten anybody in the top 15 outside of that. He hasn't beaten anybody that you could name. You can't name who he's beat. Unless there is something that I'm missing here with Darren Till and his wrestling ability, in a kickboxing match, I don't see him beating Wonderboy over the course of five rounds. I don't see this happening. He's going to be in his backyard too. The UFC, maybe Sean Shelby and the UFC matchmaker see something that I don't. But I said the same thing when Yair fought Frankie. I was like, oh, Frankie's going to murder him. He's not ready.
Too much too soon.
Yeah, I think this is the good and the bad of what the UFC does that boxing doesn't do. Darren Till, they say, hey, man, you ready for the bright lights? Here, take this guy on in Liverpool on a card that probably nobody in the States is going to watch, but it's going to be in front of your home country. But if he gets mowed down, then it's like, well, fuck, now what? And I think that's what's about to happen. I think Wonderboy is going to win this fight. I'm not sure how. I'm not sure if Till can keep the distance. My only concern is Till's a very big welterweight. But, yo, if this turns into a striking contest, he might get fucked up.
Yeah, I mean, I'm picking Wonderboy as well. I think Till will hang in there, but five rounds with Wonderboy, he's going to make it a chess match. And he probably won't knock Till out, but he'll take 4 out of 5 rounds. Just, you know, peppering him and being able to use angles. And to me, Till just hasn't fought anyone at his level yet. Till has to hope for a stoppage, hope for a knockout. Wonderboy could win in many ways, and usually that's my deciding factor. Who could win in the most ways? And that's Wonderboy in this fight, so I'm taking him. What did you think of the Badu Jack fight last weekend versus Adonis Stevenson? Came out in a draw. Who'd you have winning that?
Man, I'm not bad at the draw. I actually stopped scoring it because I was interested in the fight itself. I haven't even watched it back. The most interesting thing is it kind of played out like I said. I was worried about Adonis Stevenson's conditioning because when you take 2 fights in 2 years and you're 40 years old, that shit will catch up to you.
Yeah.
Badu had the perfect strategy, which almost backfired because he waited a little long because I think he was a little surprised at how hard Adonis hit, so he kind of sat back. But, man, Adonis gassed out. I had people on my timeline saying Adonis should retire, and I was like, that's fucking ridiculous.
No, he shouldn't retire. I mean, maybe he's not ready for Kovalev. But once again, it's definitely the end of the line, getting close to the end of the line. You shouldn't retire.
Of course.
But you got to cash out. So, yeah. Draws and wars against Badu Jack aren't going to, break the bank for you. Might as well test yourself against Kovalev.
Yeah, I mean, although I do think there should be an immediate rematch here. I'm one of those people, when I see a draw, like, dog, there should be an immediate rematch.
I think so, too, but they weren't talking like that. It seems they were going to move on.
But I mean, Badu, he's like the master of the draw. Like, he gets draws all the time. I don't know how this guy does it. I'm going to start betting on him getting a draw. I don't care who he fights. but I thought Badu fought excellent. He fought an excellent fight. I thought it was a great fight, too, the way it played out down the stretch. I think Adonis stole a round that he shouldn't have got, I think, in the 11th, maybe. But he got a second win, and I was like, yo, he's putting it all out there. It was a great fight. Boxing needs more fights like this where guys are testing themselves against the best. I was happy with it. The Gary Russell fight I was happy with also. I mean, we had a great weekend of boxing. We got a week, and then we were on to Terrence Crawford and Horn.
Yeah, so it's good we get kind of a week to recover, but we'll both be in the building for that. There's also a fight going on in L.A. that same night. I forgot who's fighting. But
is that the Morris and Santa Cruz fight?
No. Oh, maybe it is. They sent me the credential, and it was on there, too. Like, in the application process, it was like, make sure you tell us which one you want to go to. And I was like, no, the one here in Vegas. So, there are 2 fights that night, so we'll be busy. 2 fights and UFC.
Oh my God!
Same night.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it's a ton. Then the weekend after we have NXT Takeover, WWE Money in the Bank, the UK tournament, Monday and Tuesday, Raw, SmackDown, all over again, in the matter of 4 days. So this is our resting weekend. And well, you know, enjoy the holiday weekend, you guys. Don't drink too much. Don't be like me. I'm probably going to go out there and get drunk just because I have a very long weekend, 4 days straight off. So that's going to be exciting. Thank you guys for listening to another episode of The Corner Podcast. Make sure you guys follow us on social media at The Corner LSN. Me at Kel Dansby, him at Andreas Hale. That's our show for this week. Thank you guys again. Till next time, we're out.
Peace. On the corner.